It's a pleasure and honor to be here. It's just a joy to share our hearts for the mission field, but also for the message of the hope of Jesus Christ. As Teresa said, we've been married for quite a while. In case you haven't noticed, I'm 25 and she's 21. We just look a little aged, okay? I mean, it's really unusual to see us people this age going to the mission field. But for me and Therese, we've been on the mission field since we've been saved. The Great Commission doesn't give you an age or a time bracket. As soon as you're saved, tell somebody, okay? My heart has always been to preach the gospel. One of my most favorite things to do in the world is preach outdoor on the sidewalks of State College and Penn State. It's called street preaching. It's a hard place to preach. You don't get invited to come there and preach. Why do I go? I got to go. I've got to tell somebody about the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Period. No matter who I meet, no matter where I am, I'm thinking, how can I get the conversation started? What can I say? What can I say? Where's the opening? Where's the message? We have to live like that. We're running out of time. In case you haven't noticed the news lately, things are getting interesting. A little background of how we ended up here is, again, married for quite a while. But back in, 2018, 2019, I own a small business. I own a specialty roofing company, very unique. We work with the upper incomes of the nation because they can afford us. But as I was heading to this age of retirement, I kept looking at some of these people who had incomes that were just off the chart. They had lifestyles that were incredible. And I'm thinking to myself, Lord, is this what life is all about? You just retire and worry about your money the rest of your life? That's insane. I began to realize there had to be something more. So I began to ask God, what's next? What do we do? And it began to open up my heart to go to the mission field. As I said, we're always reaching out, we're always seeking, we're always looking for an opportunity to share the gospel. But Teresa and I have spent our life as Christians working in every possible lay ministry you could find. Children's ministry, youth, cleaning the toilets, washing the cars, opening doors, seating, pick it, we do it. Why? Because God called us to do and be active. Here's a secret to ministry and to missions. If you're sitting in your pew doing nothing, God's probably not going to call you to any place great. But if you're washing the dishes, cleaning the carpet, opening the doors, sharing someplace, being active in where God calls you to be, he'll move you to the next place. So in winter of 2019, I was helping out with the Chi Alpha Campus Ministry at Penn State. We had a Sunday morning worship service planned that day. So I heard a speaker talking about Dick Brogdon. Some of you are familiar with Dick Brogdon. He's the initiator of the Live Dead Air World Initiative. Live Dead is exactly what it says. It's a one-way trip. Most missionaries in the Live Dead mindset go without a return ticket. Why? Because we're being called to live out our life in the nation with the people we go to minister to. Okay, it's not a temporary assignment. It's as permanent as God will let us be there. But it's our choice to do that. Each and every one of us have a choice to make. Will you share the gospel with somebody today? Will you be kind to the person at the gas station? Will you be kind to your neighbor? Start small, kindness, small things. So as the message was going on, I started to hear this guy talking about Dick Brogdon starting in a church in Oman. And I had no interest in foreign missions except watching the missionary on Sunday. I said, hey, that's neat. That's pretty cool. But as soon as he said he was starting a church in Oman, I thought my heart was going to come out of my chest. I had to go. And I was there by myself. So as a wise man of 41 years of being married, I sent a text to Teresa. Hey, honey, how would you like to go start a church in Oman? And I waited. I got no answer. She was a wise woman. And so later in the day after church was over, she sent me this text back. When do we go? I'm very passionate about the gospel. And we had no idea what that call would mean or what it would look like. But part of the calling was to step out in faith. As that young lady said, we took a two-week trip to the Middle East, to our future station, and we were shocked by what we saw. As she mentioned about poverty, the world number for the poverty in the world is $5.38 a day. That's a cup of coffee at Starbucks. Not an hour, a day. Can you imagine living on $5 a day? No, you can't. It's staggering poverty in the places we go to minister. Most of the ministries that are reaching out to the lost right now are going to countries that are called Christianized, Western nations, nations that already have a strong presence of the gospel. We spend only 1% of our money as Christians on foreign missions to the unreached people. What's an unreached people group? An unreached people group are those that are living in their native culture but have no presence of the gospel. Most of the people we will see in the Middle East have little to no knowledge of who Jesus Christ is. The Quran calls Jesus a good prophet, and that's it. They put him at the level of that, like a good man, a nice guy. But he doesn't have the saving power of the Jesus Christ we know. So fast forward to that weekend, we end up going to the Assembly of God pre-field orientation in 2020, March of 2020. Does anybody remember what happened in March of 2020? So we get commissioned with about 50 other folks. We're heading home. We're going to preach Sunday morning at the church. We're excited. I get a call from Pastor Steve Saturday afternoon. Hey, Dan, I did not expect him to call me. Then he says, guess what? No hurry. We just closed the church. So we are that group of COVID missionaries. And some of us have been working for 3 years to get to the place where we can launch and go. Hopefully, Lord willing, May 12th through the 19th of this year, we'll go to the field. So we're very excited about that. We're also very cautious about that. We understand we're not going to Candyland. We're going to a place that is very dark spiritually. It's very hostile to Christianity. It does not like what we are doing. The Lord has blessed and opened doors in the Middle East for us to go in as what we call BAM, business as ministry, where we develop a business site of any kind, whatever it may function in the country. We'll get visas for that. But as going in as a missionary, all the doors close. So we have to go in incognito. Now, we're wise. We understand that in the places we go, most of those folks know what we do. They just keep us at bay for the most part. They'll let us function as long as we don't create too much turmoil. But isn't that what the gospel's supposed to do? Isn't it supposed to create turmoil? Isn't it supposed to upend things? Particularly in the areas we're going to, in the Middle East, when we bring someone the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's much different than it is here in the States. If I was to walk up to you and say, hey, I'm Dan Wedlake, nice to meet you. 6 weeks later, 2 months later, 2 years later, I'd say, hey, I know Jesus. Can I introduce you to Jesus? That would be normal. But in the cultures we go to, if I waited that long to tell them who I believed in, they would just mark me off. Say, forget it. You don't believe at all, do you? So in this culture we're going to, they expect us to be up front individually with the gospel. Now I have to be cautious too. It's an interesting place. But I want to talk a few minutes about the gifts and callings of God. The Bible says the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. What's that mean? Well, when I was originally, Teresa and I were married. We spent a few years in Pittsburgh. We were going to the Allison Park Assembly of God. And I felt a calling to go into full-time ministry. I was a young kid. And I went to the pastor's office and said, hey, Pastor Bailey, I feel like I'm called to the full-time ministry. He knew us a little bit. And we conversed for a few minutes. He said, how many children do you have? I said, I have 5. He said, go home. Think about it. I said, okay. I went home. I forgot about it. Did nothing with it at all. I continued to, you know, share the gospel with anybody I could find and, you know, on the streets, at work, anywhere. So then we end up at a Chi Alpha retreat. We hear the calling to go, and we go. So we come back on that Sunday to State College Assembly of God, and we begin to settle in, begin to do our outreach. So a month later, there was a commissioning service for the new MAs at that same church 32 years later. The gifts and callings are without repentance. So no matter where you start in your walk with Christ, no matter when he calls you, he will finish the call if you're willing. Missions is about willingness. We're not gifted. We're not, incredibly smart. We're not good looking. We don't have a ton of money. We have nothing that would qualify us to go in the natural. We're just willing. We're just simply willing to go. If you're willing, God will use you. He'll take you to places you never thought you could ever go or do, if you're willing. Is it dangerous? It can be. I'm a street preacher by trade. Give me a milk crate and a bunch of in a corner, and I'll preach all day long. Can it be challenging? Of course it can be. You know, we have all kinds of issues with some folks we see. But the message of the gospel must go out. If there's resistance, you're doing something right. If there's resistance, you're doing something right. Now, today in the church, we see a decline in attendance in most churches. Why is that? Why is that? Again, being a Christian for almost 42 years, I've seen some stuff. I love the Word of God. I've seen what its power can do. I've seen how it can change the life of anybody, anytime, any place. But I've also seen what's happening. I believe it's a vector. Does anybody know what a vector is? Vector is a mathematical principle about funnels. Funnels have two distinct properties. Everything gets closer together, and it gets faster and accelerates. We're in a vector of time. We're in a vector of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're in a vector of the prophetic word concerning the end of time. Here's an example. Jesus' first coming to this earth was a vector. You know, there's 352 prophecies in the Old Testament concerning his life, death, and resurrection. 60% of those happened in the last week of his life. So everything gets closer and faster as we get closer to that point of culmination. Well, today we're in the same boat. Things are getting faster. The things around the world are coming faster, and they're getting closer together. Earthquake, pestilence, world changes, banks failing. You know, pick something. It's changing. We're in the last days. Why is that important? A couple of the verses God gave me in our journey. God will work through the word to lead you and guide you. I hear people say sometimes, well, I don't know what God wants me to do. Are you reading your Bible? No. Are you praying? No. Well, how's he going to lead you? That is where we get our information. That's where we get our knowledge. That's where we get our direction, is from his word, not your head, not my head. It's based on what God's word tells us. One of the verses, I've got a couple of scriptures. Some of them are pretty long, but I'd like to read them. I think the word is always good. One of the verses that really grabbed my heart for the field was this one, Isaiah 19:19-25. In that day there will be an altar to the Lord in the midst of the land of Egypt, and a pillar to the Lord near its border. It will become a sign and a witness to the Lord of hosts in the land of Egypt. They will cry to the Lord because of oppressors, and he will send them a savior and a champion. That's Jesus. Thus the Lord will make himself known to the Egyptians, and the Egyptians will know the Lord in that day. They will even worship with sacrifice and offering, and they will make a vow to the Lord and perform it. Looking down at the bottom. In that day, this is the day when Christ returns and sets up his kingdom, Israel will be a third party with Egypt and Assyria, a blessing in the midst of the earth, whom the Lord of hosts has blessed, saying, blessed is Egypt, my people, Assyria, the work of my hands, and Israel, my inheritance. He is taking in the last days enemies and bringing them into relationship with him. Enemies. Fierce, life and death enemies he's bringing into relationship with him. Nothing is impossible for our God. But it starts by somebody telling somebody about the gospel, about what's happening. What's my hope in Jesus Christ? Another one that really caught my heart was Romans 15:20-21. And thus I aspire to preach the gospel, not where Christ has already been named, so that it would not build upon another man's foundation, but as it is written, they who had no news of him shall see, and they who have not heard shall understand. Most people don't hear the gospel. In America, we're satiated with the gospel. Everybody knows the favorite verse of every football game, which is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, so who should ever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But you know there's a last verse in that chapter? Anybody know what it is? This verse grabbed me by the heart. It says this: he who believes in the Son has eternal life, But he who does not obey the Son, the wrath of God abides on him. It abides. That same word abide there is the same one used when we speak of Jesus and us abiding together. It means to stay, to remain, to continue, to persist. That's the wrath of God that's coming upon every human being who is breathing, who is not a Christian. That's not a happy idea. But it drives me to go to the street. It drives us to go to the field. It drives us to reach the gospel, preach the gospel to anyone, any place who will listen. Because that's not a wonderful thought. But God sent his Son to die the most wicked death mankind has ever come up with, so that we might be cleansed by his blood that was shed at that cross. It's a free gift to us, but it comes with a condition. Obey. Obey the word of God. Do what it says. Live the way he tells you to live, and he'll bless you and carry you. Now, at my right young age, when I was a younger man, I had the world by the throat. I had a small business. I was going to Penn State. I had an athletic career. I was ranked in the top. I was second in the nation in my sport. I had a fiance. I thought I had everything. But in the back of my mind, I knew there was somebody called Jesus. I had a faithful grandmother who would constantly tell me, said, Danny, I used to hate that when she called me Danny. Danny, you need Jesus. Well, okay, so that's great, Grandma. But I didn't understand that until he began in a matter of a couple months to break me from myself, the starting process. Some of you, probably, well, maybe probably nobody here is a knucklehead like me. God uses 2x4s, 6x6s, and large hammers to get your attention if you're not quite clear enough to understand when he speaks softly. But that's called mercy. Anybody know what mercy is? Mercy is something you don't deserve. I don't deserve the goodness of God. You don't deserve the goodness of God. But he gives it to us anyway. Reckless love. It's a staggering concept that my sin is wretched as I have been, and thank God you guys can't read my history. But God does. He knows every stupid thing I've done, every wicked thing I've thought, from the day one to this morning to now. But he still loves me. But there's a requirement with that. It's called repentance. We don't go preaching a message of ooey gooey, Jesus loves you, come to the family, and that's it. That's not who I serve. I serve the God of the universe, who is both merciful, loving, kind, gracious, judgmental, and wrathful. That's all in the same God. How is that possible? It's because he's divinely good. God is love. But at the same time, all these other attributes of him exist simultaneously. That also brings me to a place of understanding what the psalmist would talk about when he said, I fear God. The Bible says fear is the beginning of wisdom. Do we quake in our boots in terror at this God? I do for those who are lost. And I also am gravely concerned about who he is. The Bible says he lives in unapproachable light. Have you read in Revelations when they begin to describe the throne room of God? He's so holy that the angels fall down on their faces and give glory to God. The apostles, the prophets, all fall down before the living God and give him praise and glory. This is designed that we might understand his glory. We get a glimpse of that so that it might give us a grasp on what the future holds for those who are not in the faith. I realize that in the world today, we have thousands and thousands of pieces of information being shot at us every day. Rarely is it good. Most of it is designed to take you some way that is not oriented to Jesus Christ. In the last 2 years, we've seen COVID hit. Churches shut down. There's a curious thought. Why did a church shut down? Now, I'm speaking personally. Pastor will probably spank me later. But why did we shut down? We have the only message of hope for the dying world. Why did we shut down? Why did we shut down? There's a plan. Now, personally, I believe we are in the very last days of time. In Matthew chapter 24, Jesus talks about the signs of the last days. But in there, he says something five times, everything else just once. That thing he says is, do not be deceived. Where? Outside the church or inside the church? Inside the church. When we begin to water down the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ and make it something that it is not, we become vulnerable to every message that exists. We have wokeism coming into the church, depleting our understanding of the gospel. We have the power of money coming into the church, changing our hearts towards money. We have super spiritualism that comes in. We have different doctrines that are coming in, doctrines of demons, may I say, in some cases. All end time things. Oh, but it's coming together faster and faster in that funnel, that vector of time. So we need to be about the business of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Reaching the lost, reaching them today. My Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now, when we do street preaching, it's a very concise, very squeezed down, compressed message of about 15 to 20 seconds, maybe a minute in length. Why? Because we have crowds of people going by. So you got to get it in there quick. So in Isaiah chapter 41, Isaiah is talking about something called a threshing sledge. Our ministry is kind of like a threshing sledge because we don't hurt the seed, but we crack the shell so that the word can be heard. That's what the message of the gospel is. Our God is a good God, but there's a bad end to people who do not want the good God. It's called hell. We speak about that a lot because it's a reality, my friend. As much as a reality as heaven is, hell is a reality. I do not want to see anybody go there. Not one single soul, not Hitler, not Mussolini, not any of the politicians, nobody. But some deserve to go because they rejected Jesus Christ and his perfect love. But they must have the option. They must have the information to go. That's why we go. That's why Teresa and I are going, is to bring the access of the gospel to parts of the world who have never heard about the gospel, who have never heard about Jesus Christ. We go because it's got to be said. It has to happen now. We've been believing this idea, and we've allowed him into our services. You know, Satan is subtle, but Christ is victorious. He has told us that if we just water our message down a little bit this week, maybe add donuts next week, maybe put on a play 2 weeks from now, maybe do a special event 4 weeks from now, they'll come. Who's coming? Nobody. Bible never, ever, ever, ever says, open up the doors and they'll come. Jesus was a street preacher. Paul was a street preacher. Peter was a street preacher. Stephen was a street preacher. They preached the gospel wherever they could go. So by allowing the things to come into this church, to the church that we've allowed, we've made it much more difficult to do the work of the gospel. Why don't they come? They don't believe what we say anymore. If your gospel is so good, why don't you live like it? I ask myself that every day. God will always prick your heart as soon as you make a mistake. But if we hide the knowledge of God, it says in Romans chapter 1 that the knowledge of God is written on every single heart. No matter where you go, no matter where I go, you can ask any human being the Ten Commandments. They'll answer them the way they should be, with a couple of cultural exceptions. Why? How is that possible if there isn't one God who's created every one of us and has marked us with enough information to make the right choice? That's mercy. That's mercy he has given to each and every human being, is the ability to respond to the gospel message. But our job is to simply open up our mouths and do it. Is it embarrassing? Sure, embarrassing is a word I've used many times as I've opened my mouth and tried to express the gospel. It can be embarrassing. Can you get offended? Absolutely. I get offended all the time. But I can't keep the offense. I can't allow it to stick. I got to let it go because they don't understand. They're going to respond exactly like that because they are lost. We can't expect them to act differently. So if we're not willing to be obedient to the word, live it, act it, breathe it, sleep it, think it, say it, how are they going to know who this Jesus is? That's why we go, is to bring the gospel message to anybody and everybody who can hear the message. Being called to where we go Where we are going, I never ever thought I would go there. 2001, we all remember what happened. I was willing to turn the entire Middle East into a sand parking lot with a couple of nukes. That was my heart. So in 20 years, he took out the sledgehammer and had to break me. And now I can't wait to get there to take them the message that I've got, the message of hope, Jesus Christ. He is the only hope. You want to change the politics in this country? Don't get in politics. Preach the gospel. The gospel is what we need, okay? That will change people. You want to see the economic things change? Preach the gospel. People be honest. People have integrity. People have character. You want to see people get healed? What's the word of God says? He commissioned us in the Great Commission to go to heal the sick, to cleanse the leper, and to raise the dead. If we are not doing that, it's not Jesus' fault. May I just say that? It's mine. It's yours. Because we're not understanding the power that Jesus has in us to do exactly what he calls us to do. We are willing to be spent until there's nothing left so that just one person, just one might hear, a Muslim who may be the Paul to the entire Muslim world. Is it not worth giving up everything? I'm giving away my business to my kids. We're selling, giving away everything we own. We're going with a couple of suitcases. That's the Live Dead ministry. It's a one-way trip. You're on a one-way trip. Heaven or hell, pick it, you do. You know, the Bible tells us that God has never damned anybody to hell. We do. Read Revelations. It's scary. By our deeds, we are judged. He simply says, well done, good and faithful servant, or depart from me, I never knew you. He just gives the final authoritative pronouncement. So what are you doing today? What are you doing today? Is the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ real to you? Is it important to you? I'm not saying this to try and harm anybody. I want you to think. I want you to think. Here in America, as that young lady so beautifully stated, we have no idea what the rest of the world looks like. My greatest culture shock was not going to the Middle East. It was coming home and realizing how little they had. We saw people living in burned-out buildings, ex-foundations, just living in, if everybody went to a transfer station, a big garbage dump, living in the garbage dump right next to a Mercedes-Benz dealer. Bizarre situations. They have no respect for life. They don't value life like we do. I'm in the construction industry. I saw things there that just scared me. My goodness, if OSHA came by, we'd all be in jail. You know, just crazy stuff they do because they have no respect or love for life because they don't know Jesus. So we go. We go. You go. Tell someone about Jesus Christ. Tell them about his love, his mercy, his grace, his judgment, and his wrath. My good news that I preach doesn't look very good if there isn't the other side of what I'm saying. We must tell them about the danger of forsaking Jesus, of not coming to faith in Jesus Christ. See, I've learned over the years that when someone comes to a place where they understand that they are lost, there's a place they need to get to. It's called repentance. Repentance is the womb of salvation. If there is no repentance, there cannot be salvation. It's impossible. Jesus said this in Luke 24, verse 47. Go preaching repentance unto forgiveness. The first message we have of Jesus recorded says, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repentance in a Christian is our lifestyle. We understand we make mistakes. We go to the Father and ask for that forgiveness daily. But the world doesn't understand that. So when I bring the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ accompanying the end point of those who refuse and letting them understand that clearly, it brings a change. It's not fear porn. It's just the fact that there is a reality that God has created everything that exists. Nothing is left unattended to by him. This is Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It says in 1:26, let us create man in our image, the beginning of the Trinity, the beginning of the exposure of the Trinity. John chapter 1 says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Nothing was made except what is made through him. Colossians, same thing. For in him all things are created, both in the heavens and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And then in Revelation 19, verses 11 through 16, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it is called faithful and true and righteous. He judges, this is Jesus, and wages war. His eyes are a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems. His name is written on him, which no one knows except himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, were following him on white horses. That's us. And from his mouth came a sharp sword, so that he may strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. And he treads the winepress of the wrath of God the Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh is written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's the God we serve. Not a baby in a diaper, not a pacifist who loves everybody and looks everything the other way, but the coming King of Glory, who will strike down every evil demonic thing that has ever existed by his power. But that same power is restrained by his mercy and his love, if we will simply repent. That's a staggering message, the one that needs to be yelled from every rooftop in this town, in the United States. We're dying as a country. We've stolen the hope and future of millions of people because we wanted to be friendly to the world. We've been lied to. We've been deceived. We've been tricked. It's time to turn the tables, to be aggressively, actively pursuing the lost at every possible place you can find them. If it's at your own breakfast table, it's at the lunchroom, across the street, around the world, we've got to go. We've got to go now. Not 10 years from now, now. I'll close here quickly. In the last couple of, I'm kind of a news junkie in a sense. I watch because I want to know what they are thinking. What's happening in the lost world? In the Bible, in Revelation, it talks about a kingdom that's coming. Back in Daniel, it talks about a kingdom that is coming. It's a threefold kingdom. Everything the enemy does mirrors what God does. He's an imitator. He's not creative. There'll be a one-world religion, a one-world monetary system, and a one-world government. Well, guess what? They're here. Every single piece is here. The only piece that's missing is that final moment. You got to think this through with me. When they finally decide, we're going to capture all your money. How do we do that? Does anybody have a debit card or credit card? Anybody have a cell phone? Anybody have a computer? You're already there. My bank doesn't handle money. They handle digits. The one world economy. One world religion. It's called Chrislam. In Abu Dhabi, they're building, and almost completed, a three-building park. I call it a park, where all three of the great religions of the world will meet and become one. One world government, or one world religious system. One world government, World Economic Forum, headed by a guy named Klaus Schwab. Evil, evil, evil man. He has decided that he is the best person to be the one world leader. No longer are they hiding it in the shadows. They're not trying to kid us anymore. It's out in the open because they think we are so dumb and so weak that we can't resist it. But I'm here to tell you, my friend, that gospel of Jesus Christ that's in my heart, that's in your heart, can never be stopped. Even if you check out tomorrow morning, you're going to go to heaven in glory. If you're preaching the message on a street corner or someplace else and your life ends there, you're going to heaven. What do we have to lose? What do we have to lose? Do not fear what's coming. Jesus said these are just the very beginnings of the birth pangs of the end of time. Do not fear. I get excited when I see these things, because the Word of God is being proved true. Every scientist in the world is trying to tell you that the Bible is wrong. I tell you this, they don't work with their own dirt. Everything a scientist discovered already exists. Think about that. Next time you hear some great discovery, think about where did it come from? It came out of God's creation. He's just giving him a glimpse into the window of that of his creation so we can understand it and see his glory. It says, go back to Romans chapter 1. It says, the heavens and the stars glorify God. All of creation glorifies God. We look around and over again, we see the fulfillment of the word of God and the power of that word to change a heart and soul and spare them from an eternity in hell. But it's not an ancient message. It's a living, breathing gospel message. Teresa and I have been privileged to be called to the ministry field in a foreign land. But I was first called to a ministry in my hometown, my backyard, my street corner. That's exactly where you were called to. If you just win one person to Jesus Christ, we could win the entire planet in 6 years. If Billy Graham started doing massive crusades like he has been, it would take him 600 years to do the same thing. Because the mathematics works on 1:1:1:1:1. So I ask you today, be a missionary. Here where you are. Go to the lost, wherever you may find them, that they may know the hope and calling that we enjoy, that we embrace, that we so wonderfully sing about every Sunday. We got to share that love. We got to share that message now, before it's too late. Thank you. Pastor?